Welcome to Eagle Nation. Don't forget to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so you never miss an episode.
Well, West Coast number one pick Harley Reid made his Eagles debut on the weekend, but that was probably as exciting as it got for the Eagles fans as Port ran out 50-point winners. The margin could have been greater if they had kicked straighter, but that's probably why the Eagles won't be scrutinised by their fans, or should they? Before we get into the show, welcome Dan and Wayne. How you going, boys?
Yeah, good. Very good, thanks.
Good to be here.
Back for real football now. We're not talking pre-season crap and who plays where and all that. Before we get in the show, thanks Tom at Plus Fitness CB Echo. And go to Linktree to get all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and TikTok. And download all the shows from there, I guess. Well, Port Adelaide, 16-24. 120 defeated the Eagles, 10 goals, 10, 70. Dixon was the main goal scorer for Port Adelaide, 3, Soldo 2, Rosie 2, Juan Francis 2, Farrell 2, Drew 2. Didn't read that too well, did I? Didn't realise that had that many goal kickers kicking multiple goals. And West Coast, Petrucelli 3, Waterman 2, and the rest were singles to Williams, Duggins, Darling and Cripps and Chesser. Where do you want to start, boys? Because really... Yeah, Dale, we can go deep as if you want, or we can just be shallow. What do you want to do? Because I think Port just, me and Dan were talking off air before, they just simply outclass Eagles.
Yeah, it was across the board, really, wasn't it? I mean, you look at the stats and majority of the top 20 players, I feel like a good 15 would have been Port. The funny thing is you read the goal scorers. The thing I didn't like about that game, and there were positives, but there was a lot to not like as well. So I'm sure we'll get into selection a bit later, so I'll push that to the side, where I think our first loss was almost at the selection table a little bit. But the fact, true, Horn Francis, Rosie were multiple goal kickers, I didn't like that. I didn't like the midfielders being able to push forward into space in that forward 50, take marks and kick goals. That's six goals right there with those three players. You know what I mean? I really didn't like that. I thought like Edwards being a winger, you got to get there. Gaff earlier, you know, even younger players like Jimby or whoever's on these players need to man up. And then just looking at Port, to me the difference, and you couldn't help but marvel, Rosie and Butters in that midfield. And I just sat there and watched it and I said, that's what we need to aspire to. I said this to Wazza as well. We don't need every one of our young guns to reach that plateau, that ceiling, you know. But if we could just get two of them, if we could just get a Hewitt or a Reed, you know, it doesn't matter which two. But if two of them can go in there, and literally I feel they carried that midfield, that'll go a long way to a big change, I think.
What about you, Wayne?
Yeah, look, I thought our first quarter was good and half of our third quarter was good, but the rest of it I think was pretty ordinary. Dan, you'd be proud of me, mate. Look at my sheet here. I've written out all these stats. I've looked at things today and you look at our clearances. You know, Bailey Williams was our number one clearance player. He had 7 clearances a day. He had 4 stoppage clearances and he had 3 centre clearances. Yoey and Harley were the next top clearance getters. Gibney had 1, Kelly had 3, Duggo had 1, Chesser had 2 in limited time. And you look at our rebound 50s. Gov had 10, so did Hunt. Cole had 5, Hoff had 2, Witherden 5, Tom 1, Jam O'Neill. But you look at our turnovers and that, we had 26 turnovers out of our 50. 26 turnovers. And you look at our forward line, how many 1%ers do you reckon we had? Take a guess.
I'm not even going to guess, man.
We had 6. Oscar had 3 of those.
Yep.
Now, my most hated stat is pressure acts. We had 52 pressure acts, right? So how many tackles inside 50 did we have, do you reckon?
Inside our 50 or theirs?
9.
And ours?
Yeah.
Not yet.
2.
2 tackles.
We had 2 tackles inside 50.
Yeah, look.
Now, if we're having 52 pressure acts, that tells me that we're chasing, and I say, and you know what I feel about Cripps and co, they're chasing their players out of that our forward half, and they're given a pressure act for that. And I went back and looked at all the stats on all the other clubs. I spent all night on this last night, and no one, they all have a lot of pressure acts, but no one has that amount. And, you know, Aaron Cadman, I was a big fan of Aaron Cadman when he got picked. He had four tackles inside 50 on the weekend, and he's a young guy. He had he led the way for GWS in that area. Now, and you also look at our where we got here into Williams. He was our top stoppage player. Now, I gave Williams. I thought he played really well.
Yeah,
and I know you. I agree with you. He got Soldo had 28 hit outs and a couple of goals. Bailey had 15 hit outs and one goal, but you know, and he had seven stoppages. Now, if we were talking about Nick in the day, Nick very rarely loses. Say that was his stats there, we'd say Nick's had a really good game because of his stoppages. And to me, Williams, that's why I said Williams. I thought he had a really pretty good game considering he was our only man there. But I agree with Dan. We lost it in the middle, and you and me conversed a bit yesterday when we said Kelly just stood there and let two players run past him and he just did nothing.
He wasn't alone.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, from my view, two-way runners, we talk about two-way runners, we just don't have any.
No.
Or if we have, they're slow or they just don't want to put the effort in. There's too many times where I saw, well, Kelly was one, Jinby was another. I could name six or seven that they saw somebody run and pass and they just stopped and just watched them. And there was one there where I can't remember who it was, somebody was kicking just outside the 50. He marked it and Kelly was on the mark, but he kicked it off to the left and he fumbled it. But Kelly just stood there.
Mm.
This guy turned around with no pressure on him, kicked a goal.
Yes.
And to me, that's where the effort is, isn't it? That's where I think as a fan watching the game, we said anything under 45 points we'd be happy with, right?
Mm.
It was 50, but let's face it, if they kicked straight, there would have been 100. But all we want to see is effort. The first quarter, there was a lot of effort. As we talk about pressure, and it's measured so many ways, but the pressure rating, as I do, was over 200. In the second quarter, it went down to 141, and that's probably the lowest you ever can go. Not many teams go under 141.
Mm.
And if you're going under 140, you're having a real bad game.
Mm.
The only time we were under that was against Sydney Swans last year.
Yeah.
So, but then the third quarter, again, we get ground position, but then we just – their transitions were easy compared to ours.
Yes.
Ours were always get it forward, and then we're going in the forward line, it was clogged. When they went forward, they had an open forward line and just ran in. How many goals did they score from that? I think I've got it in here somewhere from – the stoppages and all that. If I get the right mouse, I've got a couple of computers here going.
I think they got like five from turnovers, four from rebounding their defence.
Yeah, so it was five from stoppages, five from turnovers, and four from kick-ins.
Their left footer, I think I've forgotten his name now.
Drew?
No, it wasn't him. The little guy, played halfback. He kicked two goals running off halfback. I'd have to look up his name. And I think Dan Houston kicked a goal as well.
All-Australian?
Farrell. Yeah,
Farrell.
Man, how big's his boot?
I know.
You know he's going to kick from
– yes.
You know he's going to kick from 50. He never kicks anywhere other than 50, right?
Yeah.
So this is another thing. You got it was Farrell. Who did you just say? Houston.
Dan Houston's the other one.
They've both got the two biggest kicks in the game, and you leave them free to run down and just get a handball off. Because there's no pressure or no one, I don't know, it just frustrates me. It's round one. Got to understand it's round one. But that was a frustrating game to watch. And if there was a game plan, I don't know what it was.
I think. I clearly saw the game plan, was I? Like, I did see it.
What
was
the game plan to me?
It's take it on, go through the middle, don't go back.
But we didn't go through the middle.
Well, we did. We played on every chance we got, mate. We got two of our goals. Yeah, came no, we from played inside. On.
But we
what
went,
I say, four, Port got four, and we had two, which is very abnormal from transition play. Our problem was.
But the transition skills. Was down the wings.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as long as it's fast. Oh,
I'm talking about the corridor. Like,
and we did hit the corridor a lot. I think Williams was one of our best for that, where like he would try to get clearance and he was going direct. He wasn't looking out. And it's vastly different because you can tell by their best stat to look for that is the marking. We're not getting uncontested markers. We're not putting loose men back because if we're going, you can't do both. If you've got two loose men and your game plan is take the game on, go forward, you do that, then suddenly you've got you're outnumbered and you've got no one then to go to. So the game plan was there. It was very similar to Port's game plan. The fact of the matter is the skills aren't there. The level of quality wasn't there. It was nowhere near as crisp and as fast as, say, Port's was. And as I said, that's why I love their kids. I love Rosie and I love Butters. I think those two, without them, I think they'd be in big trouble. But with them, they just make that whole side look so clean and crisp.
Well, you just said marks, right? And 121 marks to Port Adelaide,
yeah.
69 to the Eagles. Yeah. 25 of the Ports were inside the 50. We had 8. Yeah.
Oh, mate, it was a good smash.
And we had 5 contested marks for the whole game.
Yeah.
Sometimes Gov and Brass get 5 contested marks each.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the whole team to get 5 contested marks for the whole game showed you how much pressure there was. There was stuff all.
Yeah, but that proves my that's what I'm saying was it is that game style is different.
Yeah.
We never, even when we got smashed, when it was chip around, we got over 100 marks a game. But what I mean is we just weren't clean. We weren't crisp. Like the amount of plays that I thought we were doing so well, and it was our good kickers that did too, and then we fell apart with a bad disposal. And something too that you mentioned, you were very angry, this was off air, about goalless quarters. We didn't have one. So even though it was a smashing, thank God we didn't have a goalless quarter because that is a bugbear, man. I hate that.
Yeah, and I hated it.
I hate that.
But
and
I was correct with about 4 minutes ago. We got him in the last 4 minutes.
That doesn't matter. I just mean in general. But,
and that's what kills us, goalless quarters or our second quarter.
It was terrible.
Is our worst. Yeah. It has been for 2 years.
It was terrible.
I really didn't like last quarter years. Of this game. I'm actually very similar to you. I think in the third quarter we wasted opportunities a bit. In the first one I loved the competitive. But yeah, that last quarter and that second quarter was just
first
but
quarter,
again, I'm so glad we kicked some goals.
First quarter was good. We actually really put pressure on and we did really well.
We kicked 3 goals in the last quarter.
And then in the third quarter, the third quarter, I'll tell you who changed the game for us was Chessa when he came onto that wing.
Oh, my God.
His running through the middle of the ground was outstanding.
Let's talk about it now.
While we're on it.
I think we're all kind of in agreement.
While we're on it, and it's been on every podcast today that I've listened to, every fan's been talking about it for, let's just say, be conservative, 6 months, right? It's been longer. Andrew Gaff is not a winger anymore. The game has passed him. This is my view, right? I love Gaffy in his prime. He was great. The game's too fast for him to be a winger because he's an endurance guy. He doesn't stop running, but he's not filling in the holes. I don't know what role he's doing. And it was either just a really bad game or he's got no idea and really shouldn't be picked. If we're in a rebuild mode, don't pick him.
No.
And if he gets picked this week, Adam Simpson, you're going to get chastised by every fan, the media, and if he has another shocker, well, guess what? It's your fault, not Gaffy's. Because I looked at Gaffy's face. He looked like he was distraught. He knew. He's going, you know, what am I doing?
He was exhausted.
And
half a game of footy. He'd look on a bench. And his face, he was exhausted.
You said at the start of the show, the game was lost at the selection table. And you're talking about Gaffy.
To me, it was the two wingers. I'm not sold on Luke Edwards. I find he's not fast and he doesn't have great disposal efficiency. 29 metres gained for a wingman is not good enough. 69% when you're mainly gone by hand. I think he had like 4 kicks. So he mainly went by, and
we're talking about Edwards.
Yeah, you know him. And then 4 disposals for Gaff. I would rather, like you said, Chester came on, had 8 disposals and a goal in a quarter and a bit of footy.
Yep.
I would rather him play a whole game and only have 16 and a goal on the wing because his meters gains would be up there and that's what you want from your wingmen. You want them to get that ground, you know what I mean? You want them to be the runner. And to me, I agree with what Simo said at the press conference, but now it's not applicable. So he said, oh, well, he was the best option going in that game. Well, on form, because no one, you know, we talk about Jimby was knocked out, Hewitt's not there, Sheed's not there, Clay Hall did his ankle, and Burr Gill was coming back from a hamstring. So I understand that. But right now, these players, a lot of them are back, and then he's had that terrible game. So this week is where are you going to make the hard call? And I think both wingers, because I think that is our main issue. there were issues all over this game, but I mean, coming into it, that was I was worried about the wings.
Yeah,
and that's it panned out that way. It was obvious.
We got Hunt playing in the wrong spot. I don't care what anyone says.
We on this show and other shows have been saying Eagles' Achilles over the last few years has been our wings, right? And other teams play through our wings because they know it's our Achilles heel.
Yeah.
So do something about it at the selections. You just said it. He was obviously the right option for game one. He's not the right option now.
No.
So
yeah, well, so that's what I was trying to say.
You know, so you've got to do it. You just said meters gained. I'm going to go – these are the – these numbers are so alarming, and this is – I know stats can be manipulated any way you like it, but Allen, 58. Brass, 32 meters. Luke Edwards, 29. Noah Long, 29. Gaff, 28. Darling, 22. That's shocking. To me, I know meters gains years ago was never even a consideration as a stat for how you're playing good, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get up there. You got to get at least triple figures.
Yeah. No, meters gains are funny because that's one I do put – I like to see meters gain because you're going forward. And ever since Richmond had that mantra, go forward at all costs, you know, just keep getting it forward no matter what, even if it's sloppy, even if it's a soccer on the ground – that's when I started paying more attention to meters ground. And when I started tiring of the chip mark game in defence, that's also when I was like, all right, who's actually taking the game on? Who's actually going forward? But we've got options now, and that's where I sit. We had a good hit out. We'll talk about later in the waffle. We'll get into specifics. But I think there is options now. And I think – I don't think there should be anyone set. And it was a very hard game because I think Kelly had a bad – overall game. I think Williams and Yeo, I found, mirrored each other. Williams came out like a man possessed in that first half. I was so happy with his first half. He quieted in the second, where Yeo was the complete opposite. I was like, you're supposed to be one of our premier midfielders, and you know where to be seen in the first half. Then the second half, I thought he lifted. To me, and I'm a massive fan, we all are of Duggan. I don't think he's a midfielder. No. I don't think he's a damaging midfielder.
He's not a midfielder.
He had 17 disposals playing almost predominantly in the midfield. He's a great backman. Keep him in the back line. Hunt, I do like on the half back.
Yeah, I don't.
Because of meters gay. Yeah, I know you want him on the wing. But we got to do something about that wing position. But I don't like Hunt up the ground because I don't want us to get trapped. And we had a bit of trouble trapped in that our own defensive 50. I want someone that's going to take it on. And they will turn it over a bit. We saw Reed do it during the preseason game, and Hunt did it a lot, and even in our intra clubs, he at least will take the game on and run. Yes, he'll miss a kick, but at least he's, and again, it's because I like meters gain, which I just explained, and he's very good at meters gain. I think he got the highest with 609 or something on the weekend, which is very good considering Port were really trying to lock it in that forward arc.
But he also had 8 turnovers in the back line. To me, that's unforgivable. Great, that's a lot for a guy who had our.
He didn't have the most in the back line.
No, Gov did.
Wibberton did.
Oh, I thought it was a bit. Wibberton was lower. But,
anyway.
And he's one of our better kicks.
Let me go back on the Gaffy bit. Because you guys know, I was one of the few guys on the TNG who'd always support him. You know, like people would want him traded 5 years ago. I said, but he's our only two-way runner on the wings. But now he just doesn't have that capacity anymore. And for Simo to say, well, yeah, he stood up in the practice games. Yeah, but who stands up in the practice games? If he was fairdinging about standing up in the practice games, he would have played Barnett yesterday because Barnett stood up in the Crows game to be our second ruck that day, knowing that Flynn wasn't going to play. They didn't give him a go though, and he stood out in the waffle game, we believe. So, and then you look at, you know, Duggo last year averaged 350 metres gained off the halfback flank. 350 metres. I looked up the stat on it.
I love it. Yeah.
He averaged, and that's where his best spot is. He's a left footer. Left footers off halfback are just get out of trouble. No how to.
I remember saying last year he should be on the halfback.
Oh, he's so good. And then you got that's why I like Hunt on the wing because Hunt can if Hunt just played up one side, run up and down one side like the guy from Melbourne that used to play at the Dockers, Ed Langdon. He just runs up and down. You watch him. He goes up and down one side. That's all he does. I watched him in the grand final that year over here. Oh, he just stayed on the one side and get up and down, up and down. Peter Matera, that's what Peter Matera used to do. Right, up and down, up and down. That's all we need. And then on the other wing, you've got Chesser. You got Chesser yesterday. His speed his first possession went straight through the middle and kicked long into our forward line. That's what we want. Now, if we make mistakes out of that, at least the kid has gone through.
I like Reed and Chesser. They waxed a bit, so it was good.
You know the thing I love about the future? Yeah, the thing I loved about Harley Reed?
He had a go.
I'll throw this one out to the AFL, and I'll throw it out to North Melbourne and Collingwood. He's not playing bruise-free football. Like the last two, Rising Star Awards.
He got in there and he got fined as well. How many people get fined in the first game?
He's not playing bruise free footy. He's not playing on a halfback flank where there's no one on him. He can just run forward and do what he wants. He's playing on a man and he's taking on. And good on Big Jammer yesterday when Dixon had a jack at him. Jammer went straight into Dixon and give him one back too. Yep. Good on him for that. So
it's funny, all fair, Wazza and I were saying the same thing I was saying to him. We're not paying Sheezel loose on the halfback. It's not a Dacos on the halfback. Yeah. So I like him getting stints in the midfield, but he will need to rest. You know what I mean? He can't go the 100%. Oh, yeah. But yeah, exactly right. The experience of this will do the kid such wonders because.
And there was a good Dacos one there, Sheezel, him against Horn Francis.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
That was great.
They had a little bit of interaction together and
it was.
There was a bit of respect there.
It was really good. Look, Reed, we'll quickly talk about him. You know, his first game, you know, the day before. He's brilliant. What is it? Puma come out and put a big
thing
on the back paper. That was brilliant. Big blackout saying, under no pressure, mate, best of luck. You know, that's brilliant. Everyone knows who it was about. Mm. He had 16 disposal, 9 contested possessions, 5 clearances, 4 score involvements. Now you got 8 of them in the first quarter. Cool. Second quarter, he only played like about 5-6 minutes in the second quarter.
Yeah.
But he's one that. He's not daunted. He went out there and he showed why he was picked
and
as number one.
His reaction when Waterman got that first goal was unbelievable. You know, went with the tap over, that Cripps tapped over and not Waterman. And Harley's running through with his fist up thing. And I think his family was up then at the end of the stand. Yeah, he's giving him the big fist up. And as you guys know how I think of Harley Reid because, you know, I've followed him for 2 years.
You've
now.
Adopted him, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I said to my wife, last night, I said, if he's going to stay in WA, we'll adopt him. There's no worry. He didn't ask me. I said, don't have to. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming into the family.
Well, let's quickly just talk about Port Adelaide. Look, Rosie and Butters, like me and Dan were talking off air, those guys, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Rosie 27 disposal, 2 goals. Butters 27 and a goal. Then you chuck in Horn Francis, his young 20 disposals, 2 goals. William Drew, he's usually a tagger, 16 touches, 2 goals, as you said. Mm. Ollie Wines. I didn't really notice Ollie Wines. He had 23 disposals.
Yeah, he had a lot of handballs.
Charlie Dixon smashed Barras in the first quarter. Mm. It was like, just kick it to me, I'm going to get the ball. But you got to hand it to Brass in the second half. He curbed his influence, but they found another way to goal. So that's when Marshall got off the lead. And Finlayson probably didn't do too much, but he took the play away from there and opened it up. Rady Kalia and Zerk Fetcher in their first games are pretty solid. And then you look at the Eagles. We had Jack Petricelli, 3 goals. Now, I've looked at social media and some people go on Petricelli had to lift. He got 3 frigging goals for F's sake.
He's lucky.
He was our could've best
got 5. I was about to say, he could have had 5.
He missed a couple of easy ones.
He was our best forward by a long shot. There's no one else even on the paddock, actually.
No, I thought he played really well. I've been a bit of a negative on Petch.
Yeah, well.
He played well.
And that's where maybe he should stay in the forward pocket. I loved it.
Yeah. I was a bit thrown off the fact he played forward because all the preseason was like, he's up the ground a bit more, he's up the ground.
But they chucked him in the guts at the end.
He
did come
forward.
Out the back line a few times there too.
Ali, like you said, first half was, I don't know, he didn't get off the plane. Second half was, he had 18 disposals in the second half. He had 2 in the first. Jaden Hunt out of, like we said, we've talked about him and Nafi running off. He's a runner, so maybe we're going to bring him up the field. Bailey Williams, like you said, 13 hit out, 7 clearances. And you know what? This time last year, we were saying he needs to stand up.
Mm.
I don't think he needs to do any more. That guy, he's got a heart of a lion, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he come off sore. He was very sore. I reckon it's a bit of a glute, but, you know, he should be all right. We've talked about Harley Reid. After that, there wasn't too many you really could talk about at the Eagles because some of these senior players – Need to stand. Oh,
I was a bit harsh. Gov had a really good
and
game.
And Gov, well, we gave him best on ground. So what did he have? He had 19 disposals, yeah. 7 marks, 2 tackles, 10 rebounds, 1 clearance, but he had 442 metres gains, 90% efficiency, 9 pressure acts and 6 intercepts.
A goal-saving tackle too, which and I loved.
Yes, that was great.
And some very sore ribs.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think of – there's two there. There was both Butters and McGovern and both of them. Butters got him in the ribs.
I didn't think it was anything.
And nothing in it. And no. Even the one where he hit no. Butters, I didn't think there was anything in.
No.
But the funny thing is, I thought, if anything, there was no free kick.
There was none either way.
No. McGovern got a free kick.
That was,
and I'm like going, what's that free kick for?
That was one of the worst umpired games ever. Didn't cost us the game, obviously.
No.
But the Waterman thing, like, that looked if like we'd won, a pie
if we'd won by a point, it would have been
That Gov bump, that was just a good solid bump. I don't know what the free kick was for. And then there was a couple, like, I think Marshall was one that dropped the mark. And then Dixon fumbled the mark, hit the ground and dug his shoulder in. And they're both... come up, you look at the replay, they never held it. They were juggled it the whole way to the ground until they hit the deck. But the umpires just guessed, you know, because they were obviously on the wrong side, so they just assumed that they'd marked it. So, yeah, but it's round one, so we got to cut the umpires a bit of slack too, I feel, because our players looked very rusty, some of them, and that. So the umpires obviously a bit rusty too.
Can I just say that?
But I was a bit disappointed with just quickly Brockman. I was so excited to see Brockman. There was like so much talk about how Hawks really were like lose him basically. And he was one because all the talk was Harley Reid, but Brockman didn't play in the preseason games because he was another one that just come off the injury. But he wasn't alone there. I'm not singling him out. It was just I was excited to see him play, and he was no one that didn't really.
Daniel Laidley
only had nine disposals. So
and Daniel Laidley's comments in this morning's West had him. You know, she did a thing of each player. Like Sumi used to do it this year, and she's doing it this year.
But is it them doing it, or is it just a ghostwriter? That's their name.
It's got a photo.
Like Caitlin Bassett don't write like that.
Photo of her. But anyway, she said, well, Brockman was very encouraging in his first game. And I just thought he went missing.
And
that's my opinion.
Was hard on Petch as well. I think I saw that too.
Yes.
So I thought you can't – and I know I'm a bit stubborn there and I love my stats, but the best stat in the game is goals. It's the most important one. The chances are if you kick more goals, you're most likely going to win the game. So to give like a bad score to your leading goal kicker for a game, I find a little bit like at least give him an average mark.
I'm over the West now because Caitlin Bassett, I don't think she writes half of the stuff, but I use her name. She's an ex-basketballer or whatever she is. Danielle Laidley, are they just putting names to it? I don't know because sometimes I read these articles. These guys aren't even watching the game. I just want to go back to that Waterman thing. We record this on a Monday night. I don't know when the front bar is on, but I bet you – they'll have Wayne Harms going out on the boundary line, kicking that goal, and then they're going to have a mirror of Jake Waterman. They're going to say, I can just see it now. It's there for the taking. If somebody does not take that and replay that back to back, it's going to be funny. But he might as well have just jumped into the crowd.
I'll tell you one thing. This maybe should have been on a coach's corner thing. I don't know. The AFL, look, coaches get held to – responsibilities, players do. It's about time they held responsibility to the bloody boundary umpires because I'm sick of seeing the crap that's happening every bloody week.
There's four of them.
I know.
And there's bad decisions for that.
And the goal umpires putting their hand on, I want to see if it was touch. Just make a bloody decision. The AFL have got them all shit scared to say, well, if you make the wrong decision, the goal umpire, you're out. But the boundary umpires, some kilos on and throw the damn ball instead of throwing it 20 metres or come in off the ground like they're doing the AFL women's game and come in 10 metres and throw the bloody ball.
I reckon you might see it on Foxtel tonight, but they had on a couple of shows today. Now, they took some vision of last year. The umpires are actually throwing the ball in the same distance. The players are 7 metres back from where they were on average last year. So I don't know if it's a ploy from all the players.
Did you hear Buckley talking about it?
No.
They're trained 18 metres.
Yeah.
They're only to throw it in 18 metres.
So, and
he's saying
in.
They're actually hitting the targets they're supposed to hit.
But it's because the ruckmen that are going back.
Yeah, the ruckmen are so far back because they don't want to, like, give up position that they're not getting to the contest.
Yep.
And it was a coach's corner from memory last year.
It was, get the ruckmen in. It's been driving me insane.
It's almost like a fall off of umpiring. But then when you hear Buckley talk about it, if they're only – I think they are hitting 18 metres.
Oh, I don't reckon, I don't reckon a lot of them are.
Well, they reckon – that's why I want to watch Foxtel tonight because I think it's going to win because they measured it because I was on a couple of radio shows and they're actually thrown to the same spots. Mm. He goes, there was a couple of shallow ones, always is.
Yeah, it's a but, mistake here.
He goes, on average, the ruckman was 7 metres back.
Well, I'll say what I said last year then. Either
listen to Wayne, coach's corner.
Either umpires get the bloody thing right or coaches start coaching your players to the boundary umpires, to the boundary throw-ins because someone's not doing something right.
I'll tell you
so what. My thing is what's stopping somebody running in? If the ball's going to be short, running in, taking the ball and running off.
They before can, the ruckman they don't can know if it's going to be short. Oh, no, someone else can't. I think you'd get pinned for it. I think,
so it's got to be nominated it, ruckman, does
was
it?
Was it
yeah.
Oh, I think I saw Robinson once get done years ago for the Lions for that, where like he kind of took the ball because they didn't get there, so he took it in the full. But this reminded me of it, and it's similar to your pet hate. Yeah, go to the goal review. It's annoying. But the goal review is so scared to make decisions sometimes. Oh, if it's line and ball, but they know, Kuno kicked that ball. You couldn't tell in the replay. Did you see that? The Richmond
game? Yeah, I didn't
you
think
watch,
it, I
okay,
didn't think
it's,
it.
It's a, no, it's a fraction. And one of them, you see the ball just deviate. So on the
it.
One from behind, watch it again. And it was only one of the shots, but you clearly saw that ball deviate. And I was like, oh, yeah, he has graced that. It's a feather's touch. But you see the ball deviate when his foot goes past it. Now, they've got those angles. We're watching the angles they have. So at first, it's holding the ball, holding the ball, holding the ball. Then you see that angle. And then you're like, oh, he has feathered that ball, but doesn't matter. It's still, and then they don't make the decision. And we all remember famously that Gov one back in the day where they're like, they didn't want to make the call. But then when you drew a straight line down, the ball was clearly not past the goal line. And they're too scared. If it's a line ball decision, they're like, oh, umpire's call. I hate that. You should never. They've got more info than the umpires. They should be forced to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, look, the umpiring last year was pretty average and it started hasn't started off too good. Look, we could spend all day talking about this game, working out where we're going to go right. I think, like you said, it's going to be this selection table. If we're going to put up efforts like that, only playing two quarters, you're never going to win a game of football. And to me, footy is about confidence. And the first quarter, I just thought we had a lot of confidence. And once they got four goals in a row, we just the heads went down. And nothing else happened. And I don't know. That's the senior players need to stand up.
Lack of leadership.
You know, you just got to do something there because some of the efforts I saw on TV, I'd love to have been at ground. I got mates that were at the ground. And some of the efforts I was saying that you didn't see on TV because you don't see it. He goes, you shouldn't be doing that in AFL football. And it's the same culprits every week. And it seems to be our half forward line. Two-way runners, I don't know. We got to work on a lot. But as we said in the last episode, we've got to have a bit of faith. It's only round one. But I don't think we could take too many things like that.
And I still don't believe the coach will make big changes because he's not a coach that does make a lot of changes. And the big one that has to be made, if he doesn't make it, I'd say he's going to be under a lot of pressure.
Well, as far as I know, we have to make two.
Well, it's got to be Gaff and Edwards to me.
It's not working.
Change it up. The same player, and at one stage you're on both on the same side. I know it's you got to go to where the ball goes, but that means the other side was way open. There probably could be those two. Like you said, he won't make wholesale changes.
No,
unless there's an injury or something. I can't see any wholesale changes. Never has been big on that, but. They're the two that stick out. You got to give Brockman another chance, I guess.
Yeah, see, Brockman, I don't mind. Like, I'm not being critical. Brockman, I just mean I was excited to see him play.
Brockman and Long sort of play similar games.
Do you know what they're doing, though? Do you know why I reckon Edwards is getting a game? And this is a mini tinfoil hat moment. I think because he's in his fourth year, 22-year-old, we're lacking that age bracket. We're either very young, under 21 or under, or, you know, we're 30 basically. So I think Edwards just fits that category where he's a 22-year-old now, you know, he's a little bit older. So they want it to be a hit, not a miss. But you've got to forget age, it's got to warrant form. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. We've said this even when we were in our prime. There's nothing wrong with going back to Waffle to get form. Nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
And you need to reward the ones that are at Waffle and are performing. And as I said, we had a couple, so it'd be very interesting to see how we got the selection table this weekend.
All right, let's quickly talk about the Waffle. Yeah, there was a Waffle practice game. Eagles, surprise, surprise, everyone, ran out winners. 15-7, 97 to 7-8, 50 against Perth, your mob, mate.
Well, mate, they had six of their guys.
Oh, well, look, I know you're going to say, I know you're going to say six of them out, but three of them have never played for the club.
That's all right.
So, at the end of the day, you only can play who you run out against. With Eagles had 10 players. Showing they can be competitive. Harry Barnett, we all heard the reports he was pretty good. They took him off in the last quarter and gave Colin Livingston the run of the ruck, so giving him a bit of exposure against his old team. And Kobe Bergil, 4 goals.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now,
we're talking about wing. Yeah,
we're talking about a winger. Yeah. This guy can burn, man. I'm telling you, he's faster than Petrocelli. So,
and he's a lefty too, I think.
And then you got Clay Hoare, the new draftee, and Zane True. They're in the midfield for most of the game. Rotham, he didn't really play much in the first half, played the second half, so they're probably getting game time into him. The young kid, Harvey Johnson, played up forward, so he's another like Petrocelli type sort of player. Jack Williams finished with 3 goals. So
That's good for
it's
Jack.
It's amazing what happens with a big forward when you've got delivery coming in. And so if they can keep that up, I think, you know.
By all reports from all the senior players, they're all rave about Harvey Johnson. All of them. You're talking about him. He's one kid they all talk about and saying, this kid has got some talent. So,
the things I heard, they said, he's this year's Noah Long, right? And again, he was picked up towards the back end and they said they've been watching him for a couple of years and, yeah, he's got some skill about him, apparently. So I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really comment, but you only can go on what people tell you. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. So, like you said, we've got pressure there from underneath now.
Which we haven't had, have we?
That's one big thing where, you know, if we've got pressure underneath, these guys really – that are in the senior side and senior players really need to start looking at themselves. Is Adam Sims going to make hard calls? We've yet to see it. But this year, if he wants to keep his job, he has to.
Yep.
Because if he doesn't, if you're playing those same players for the next 6 weeks and they're all 50-point losses, well, guess what? You're not going to have a job.
No.
So, end of the day, we're going to try and be positive, but that game, we try to pull out the positives of what we can see. But, you know, really, the scoreboard.
We got the promising youth there, and Dan said something earlier and made me twig too. Is that you look at the teams that won the flags the last few years, like last year, Collingwood, you know, they had the Dacos brothers to go. They've had them all since they were young. Pendles, of course, he's a bit older, but they've had him as young. You look at Melbourne when they went. Yeah, Melbourne, when they got Clayton Oliver, they also got Petrarca as well that year.
Yeah.
So, and there was a few others in that. So those guys combined and got them a flag. And you look at us, when we won our flags, you know, when we had Cousins, Kerr and Judd, they're all young, and then all of a sudden they bonded. And that's how it works. And that's we've got. If we can hang on to Harley, we've got young Clay Hall. Hopefully, will come up and pass that ankle injury. He'll be in there. And you've got Chesser. Hopefully, has really starting to show a bit along there. And a couple of the other younger boys coming. Noah Long will probably mix up into the midfield at some stage. We've got the potential there. If we can hang on to him and mould him into a team, that's where the season, and it is going to be 3 or 4 or 5 years before it happens.
A lot of people are impatient.
Yes.
And they expect these kids to be champions straight away. And it comes down to Eagles having such a proud history of success. But you've just got to be patient. And you've just got to believe that the process is right.
Yeah.
But the process has to be delivered and they've got to be played.
Yeah.
So, because you're not going to get games into them if you don't.
That's right.
And that's when you're just going to fall further back. So the time is now. You've admitted a rebuild. So the pressure's going to be on Simo and the match committee this weekend when they pick the team against the Giants, which we will talk about next in Bounce Down. All right, guys, it's been good to talk final siren and that. Hopefully when we're talking this episode next Monday. It's a win against Giants, but we'll talk about that more in the next episode, which will be out on Wednesday.
Well, we Eagles. We did beat them this time last year, so you never know.
I'm worried, but we'll see.
I'm not putting any. I'm not putting my money on it. Anyway.
We actually turned their season around.
Yeah, we did, succeeded. Didn't we? All right. Until next time, go Eagles.
Go boys.
A fortress built, we cross the nation. Our colors share the west coast sky. Our will to